T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday.
I just can't thank the fans enough for what they've done this year. Their support when they couldn't be here, to meeting us at the airport, to coming to the game like they did this past week and then again this week. We felt their support even though they couldn't be in the stadium. And I think that's been big for us as a team.
It's win or go home. Playoff football, it's only getting tougher from here. We've got a great opponent coming into Buffalo. Chance to, again, play in front of our fans. Just getting that opportunity. I love this game. I love playing this game. And the more opportunities I get to play this game is what I want to do. So giving us another shot. Again, our first goal is to win this one. And if we don't, we're going home. And, you know, it's never a good feeling, especially losing at home. So I think everybody in this locker room is completely focused on the task at hand right now.
Baltimore D, they're fundamentally sound across the board on the defensive side. What I'm impressed with when I see them play, from the front to the back end, they understand and know when they're sending more guys that can be blocked. Therefore, defensive backs, they know they gamble, and they understand that, and they know the ball is coming out hot. When you have a football team that understands exactly what is going on.
If I were the Bills, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, but I'd rather play almost anybody other than the Ravens. I'm talking AFC or NFC. I'd rather play anybody. I think you can make the argument with the Chiefs and the Packers, certainly. But I'd rather play the Bucs. I'd rather play any of these other teams. The Rams. The Ravens are playing almost like they were last year when they were 14-2 and Lamar Jackson was the MVP of the league.
On WGR, woo! Sports Radio 550. Woo!
Hey, happy Friday. It's Football
Beware.
Friday.
Beware, Howard.
Beware of the Ides of March.
Beware the person that tries to tell you momentum's the reason you should be afraid of a team. They might just get enough momentum to match to what they had last year, and then they ultimately lost in their first playoff game.
Who's it? Oh, Baltimore?
Yeah, they had 12 wins in a row, and then just, you lost.
Do you
Beware,
know?
I wouldn't want to play them because they've won a bunch of games in a row.
I feel good about the game anyway, not recklessly optimistic, I believe, as you have said. But there was someone who tweeted at you and Nate yesterday and made me feel much better about the game.
Yeah, who was that?
Matt BP.
Okay, what did he say?
Maybe Nate brought up a point. I don't know. I just saw he tweeted at both you guys. And we were talking about Baltimore's defense. They blitz a lot. They've got really good corners. They're very aggressive. They disguise their schemes. They're the, I forget, are they the number two scoring defense? I don't know. They're one of the better scoring defenses in the league.
One or two.
Rams are one, so they must be okay. Two. Rams are one.
Miami was near the top until the Bills dropped like 50 on them.
Right. So Matt BP tweeted at you guys and said, the Bills annihilated a Miami defense that was first in scoring defense, liked to play man-to-man, had two stud corners, and brings heavy pressure up front. And I'll add that they disguise their coverages and they move guys around and they do a lot of things, and the Bills carved them up twice. And yep. In a game where they actually had more on the line than the Bills did. So thanks, Matt. I mean, I feel they're going to win, but that made me feel like, yeah, that's right. It's not like the Bills can't beat really good defenses.
Keep going. The Rams had a really
good defense. Turns out to be the Rams maybe are the best defense in the league.
Rams
carved
the
them
best.
Up.
The best corner in football, maybe.
Right.
They threw a touchdown on him.
Shuts everybody down.
Yep, shuts everybody down. And he had a decent day against Diggs, who still got a touchdown against him.
That made me feel better. No, I thought Miami, that game, I mean, I wasn't worried about Tua, but their defense is good. And, you know, Flores has done a nice job, and they spent all that money in free agency, and they bolstered up their defense, and they changed half the starters, and now they have a good pass rush, and they do have two very good corners who can hold up, and they get sacks, and they get picks, and they score points, and the Bills just destroyed that defense. So, yeah, that picked me up a little bit. I don't know. Maybe my faith was beginning to drain a little bit. I have no idea. But thanks, Matt. So I liked your point, and it made me feel really good that just recently they destroyed one of the better defenses in the league this season.
And eventually you're going to have to get to a point where you can't say, I would not want to be playing blank.
Anybody, right, right.
You just want to be playing.
Yep.
That's all you want. As long as you're playing, it doesn't matter who you play or who you have played. Like, that's another point here. Like, well, who have the Ravens beaten? I don't know. I don't care. We're not this isn't the BCS, you know. This is not the CFP where people have to prove why they belong in the Super Bowl. You just got to win a game. So I'm not worried about who the Ravens have played or even who the Bills have played. I just think the matchup is one that the Bills can win, and I really hope that they do because I'd like to be distracted from the hockey team for an additional week. So, you know.
That's funny. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit behind today, so there was a delayed reaction to your comment there.
No, but I mean, like, yeah, I feel fine about the Ravens game. And if they lose, it doesn't mean, you know. I had a tweet from somebody yesterday who said that everything from here, he has a friend that says everything from here is gravy, that they've done what they set out to do and everything's gravy. And it was the tweeter's opinion, who wrote to me, that this is a terrible take. And I don't think it's a terrible take. All it means is, listen, this is what I want this year, accomplished. Okay, well, anything else you do would be great, but I'm not going to be mad if you lose to the Baltimore Ravens that you failed to, you know, fulfill the expectations I had for the season. It's you work this way in a lot of things, you know. If you're going for whatever it might be, you have I'm trying to think of things where you have goals along the way, and it's okay to exceed them, but if you don't exceed them, you're not in trouble, you
yeah.
know. A paper is due by the 15th. If you handed it on the 15th, that's fine. 14th to be better, I guess. I don't know. Like,
13th to be better.
You can overachieve, but as long as you've done what, you know, I've set out for you, then I can't get too upset about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can feel that way if you want to.
Well, because everybody, you know, look, there are two different things at play here. Like the overall, whenever the season ends, if it ends short of a Super Bowl or even maybe even short of the AFC Championship game, if it ends Saturday night, there's a point to take a step back and look at the season, and anybody who isn't extremely excited about how the 2020 season played out is nuts. But tying into that is also the present. And the present is, boy, this team's really good and they're good enough to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Please don't lose Saturday night. And that's, you know, again, so there's that, you know, there's that balance you got to play with. And sometimes I'll admit, I mean, I'm in the present. It is hard for me sometimes to take a step back. Look, if they don't win tomorrow night, I'm going to be really bummed. I'm not going to enjoy Sunday. I'm going to wake up miserable, and I'm not really going to watch the other two. I'm going to watch. I don't want to watch the other two football games because it'll just remind me, the Bills season is over. I will see them in July. You know, but once I gather my thoughts and I take a breath and I take a step back, I mean, come on. I mean, Josh had whatever. I don't want to go into like obituary mode because that's silly. But, you know, we'll understand how significant a step the franchise took this season. And for that matter, going forward, what kind of shape they're in next season. And we hope beyond for an extended run in the conference. Yep. I mean, everything looks just, you know, knock on wood. Everything looks great. Not just Saturday night. I'm talking about beyond. Everything looks to be really lined up here very well for the Bills. I mean, they are one of the, you know, the franchises that people are pointing to. Hey, when you rebuild, this is how you do it. You know, got the right coach, put together the staff, brought in the GM. They work in lockstep. You overhauled the roster. You built up your offense. You found your quarterback, blah, 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 blah. And everything seems to be proceeding very well at this point. But if you want to beat Baltimore tomorrow night, I'm good with that because I would love to see this team go deeper in the playoffs and see them face another challenge and see how they handle it and see what they do because they're good enough to win it all. You know, sometimes you hope and you pray and you think, well, if a break or two happens or we get the right matchup and, you know, the higher seeded team loses here and there and there, doesn't matter. Like you said, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I thought the Colts were a tough opponent. I think Baltimore's a good matchup. I mean, there are no easy games, I don't think. With Pittsburgh being eliminated, it wouldn't appear to be. So I'm all about just continuing to see how this team does, how it handles challenges, what it does, because I believe it's going to be one of the top teams in the league again next season. So let's see how they do at that level.
Yeah, and when you bow out, there's a lot of different ways to bow out. Pittsburgh bows out and becomes, well, what are we going to do with our quarterback? There's a lot of changes coming.
Yeah.
And Seattle does, and it's, all right, let's reboot this thing. We've got Russell Wilson and some good receivers, and we should probably run it more. That's a weird one to do. If you're Washington, who bowed out, it's, well, we weren't that good anyway. And who's the other team that lost? It would have been
the Colts. That's right. And they're still wondering. And they're going to wait another month and talk to Philip Rivers again. They don't even know what's going on at quarterback.
They might just say, let's run it back again.
Right.
And, you know, on and on. You do this. If this is Drew Brees' potential last game, then New Orleans would have to think about what that means for them. And in Tampa, they probably run it back with Brady again. And if you're the Rams and you lose, what do you – you know, each team that loses and when the season's over has its own evaluation of how things went. And I think if we're being honest, you know, the Bills are feeling really good about how their season went, just like the Browns are. You know, when the season ends, if you don't win the Super Bowl, you look back and say, well, hey, I mean, like, let's be honest. We are moving in the right direction, and we're happy about this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I forgot how we got started on this conversation, but I'm not afraid to play Baltimore. I don't not want to play Baltimore. I think they can beat Baltimore. I'm excited for it. I think it's a great matchup, and I cannot wait to watch the game.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's been a long week. I feel like this week, for whatever reason, feels like it's dragging and it's taking a lot longer. I mean, it's Saturday to Saturday. It's not like there's even an extra day, like a Saturday game to a Sunday game. But it just feels there's you know, it's the excitement in the community. It's the high coming off the win over the Colts. It's, you know, legitimately feeling these guys are good enough to win a Super Bowl. You just can't wait. I guess that's the one nice thing about Stanley Cup playoffs. You only usually have to wait a day, you know? If you lost, you wallow around for a day, and then there's another game. If you win, okay, you got to get right back into playoff intensity after one day off, and there's the next game in the series. This waiting a week is driving me crazy. And I've experienced this. I've gone through this before. And I think I used to be able to soak up the previous win a little bit more, but I feel like, I mean, we went right into Baltimore mode, and it's just all week. It's like, let's you can't wait to see this game. I'm very confident that Josh Allen and the Bills will have an answer for what Baltimore's going to throw at them. I don't know what they will. I don't know if they'll blitz 40% of the time or whatever their numbers are. And they're one of the, you know, higher percentages in terms of man coverage. I'm not sure what they do, but I feel so confident in the way Allen has played and what Brian Daboll has been able to do in terms of game plans and matchup specific plans and all these things and the amount of talent they have around Josh Allen. I really, you know, I'm not going to say there won't be some three and outs tomorrow night, but, you know, last time they played, one touchdown and it came in the fourth quarter. I don't believe that's happening again. I feel very confident that they'll be able to move the ball, put up points, and be able to put up enough on the board that they'll be able to win the football game. I know you're you know, thinking like 30 plus. I'm still not willing to go there. I think mid-20s is where I would top out, you know, and I think that'll be enough to win the football game because I believe they'll be able to keep Lamar in check too.
Yeah.
And they're not going to lose because Lamar is passing the ball. I mean,
I don't think so either.
They're not good. They're not that good passing the football. I believe they're going to load up to stop their running game, and they'll find a way to keep it in check.
Yeah, for anyone that's worried about the weather or talking about the weather, I guess I want to say that's a compliment to the Bills. You know, the fact that I don't want there to be inclement weather that would affect the game means I think they're better than Baltimore. I don't want any outside factors coming in, you know? And I have a message here from Dan Russell, from meteorologist at Spectrum
News
Buffalo. And, you know, if we're getting down to the – now that we're closer, we're getting down to the hours.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it could be different in the first half than it is in the second half. The wind and the snow could kick up in the second half. So, you know, now we're way down deep into, well, if it's going to get nasty at halftime, I want the ball first, and I'm going to go as fast as I can early on. I'm not going to defer because I don't want more possessions when the wind might kick up to 30. And we might get some, I mean, are we talking blowing snow maybe? Who knows? Snow showers picking up
after
midnight.
The winds now, they say, could like gust up to 30. So they might be a little bit stronger than what we were hearing at the beginning of the week.
And again, gusting is not the same as sustained.
Right,
if a gust
happens
once every 20 minutes, well, then you have to worry about it. If it's sustained, maybe that's a bigger problem. So, yeah, I think everybody's head's in the right place. There's a lot on the line. So, you know, it's intense.
And it gets more intense as we go deeper and deeper into the playoffs. That's part of the fun of all of this stuff. But that's okay. You know, I do think You know, I think you look at it, I just think one of the biggest edges they will have is the depth of their passing game targets. And my guess is, I know there was a, I saw a comment from John Harbaugh. He was talking about Stephon Diggs this week and how he's like the one that got away. They were aware of him in college. He had played right there at the University of Maryland, you know, practically in Baltimore's backyard, I guess. And they never got around to drafting him. And he talked about how Diggs is, you know, is enemy number one for the Ravens this week. My guess is their game plan, you know, the first thing they're going to want to do is make sure Stephon Diggs doesn't have a big game. And I don't know if that's, you know, Humphrey on him or Peters on him or whatever their plan is. But my guess is, you know, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure Diggs doesn't have a big game. Great. You know, then John Brown, step it up. He didn't have a catch last week against the Colts. He looked good against Miami, had no catches last week against the Colts. I need him to come up big then. Beasley has been the best slot receiver in the league this year. Gabriel Davis has, what is he? I don't even know how many touchdowns he has now. Seven, whatever he's got. Like, he had 600 yards and seven touchdowns. They, for what it's worth, if they do struggle in pass coverage, they've had some issues covering running backs and tight ends. Now, I don't think the Bills are changing their offensive philosophy. Let's face it, their pass offense is geared to who? The wide receivers. That's where Josh Allen typically goes. But again, if we're talking about their depth at corner and maybe being able to keep some of your receivers in check, okay, if they're bad covering tight ends and running backs, throw to T.J. Yeldon and Devin Singletary and Dawson Knox. Work them in for a few catches over the course. That's half, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's half, 7 weapons if you throw in Yeldon. How do you stop everybody? Unless Josh is on his back all night, how do you stop everybody?
Well, I mean, if we're going to include Yeldon in the list of weapons.
No, I'm just saying like a couple, three targets. No, I'm just saying, I mean, Yeldon can catch the ball. I'm just saying, right. If they're having issues covering running backs, there's a couple, three targets to him. He's not turning the game. Knox, Singletary, and Yeldon are not turning the game. The game will be won or lost on Josh Allen getting the ball to the wide receivers. But you have some other weapons that at least you can work in over the course of the game and, you know, great, take advantage of some matchup issues lower down the line, so to speak. No, I know it comes down to your top four receivers against their three best cornerbacks, one of which is questionable with Marcus Peters. That's what it comes down to. That's it. That's the matchup, plain and simple. Assuming Josh isn't on his back all night, it's your four receivers and their best three corners who wins.
I mean, if you really, really wanted to boil it down, you don't necessarily do this scientifically, but you want to make it a quarterback game?
Well, the Bills, have the better quarterback.
Yeah. This year, they've had the better quarterback.
Yeah.
Last year, they had the better quarterback. You know, he led the league in touchdown passes. If you do a two-year sample, well, then maybe they're a little bit
closer.
Probably
close, right.
It might be close. But I think you'd probably, again, they're playing this year's team, so I think most would take Allen. But while respecting that Lamar is really good and has at times been really good. There have been plenty of good defenders that have been made to look mad. I forgot, by the way, that Lamar last year posterized Matt Milano.
I forgot that play. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it was mentioned yesterday, and I totally forgot that play.
Yeah, and Milano's a really good player. So, you know, it's you're always on alert, and maybe the reason they had a coverage bust last time is because how much they're on alert against him. I do feel good. I thought Tennessee did a nice job against Baltimore, and Tennessee's defense is not great. I think the Bills can do the same thing. I've told you, I'm recklessly optimistic about this game. I don't see that changing. Even into, like, they could get down by 10, I'll probably still feel okay.
Right.
You know, because this is a league where there have been lots of swings and points. The Bills haven't had that many games like that. The Rams one's the only one I can think of with a huge swing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they come all the way back and take the lead. I feel good.
Did you know the Bills have not trailed by 10 points in a game since the Jets game, the second Jets game?
That's
was that
wild.
2 months ago?
And they won that game.
And they won, 18-10. They trailed 10-0. I forget whether it was first half or second half. But
yeah.
I know they trailed. I looked it up because when Indy was driving and they had, you know, whatever, they were at the 1 yard line and then that whole goal line sequence, I thought, wow, they're going to go down. What would they have been down? 14 at that point or 10 at that point? I forget. I think it was 10, whatever. It doesn't matter. 17-7. They would have gone down 10. And I kept thinking, when was the last time? I mean, this team hasn't trailed much in the last 2 months, let alone by more than 7 points. And I looked it up. The last time was when the Jets were up 10-0. And that would have been week 7, week 8. It's a long time ago. So this has been, you know, that's part of the confidence I think people have, part of the fun, the excitement, the confidence, the belief. They've blown teams out. They've won, I mean, the closest games. This was the closest game. Indianapolis was the closest game since the three-point win over New England. They've won decisively. They've won 10-point games. They've led in most of the games. When they've trailed, it's never been by more than one score. They're on a serious roll, and I think you just factor all that stuff in and the way the offense is performing, and I believe the Bills' defense is not as concerned about their passing game that they'll be able to, you know, it's the reverse. I'm sure the Ravens aren't spending a lot of time freaking out about stopping the Bills' run, except Josh Allen's legs. And I don't think the Bills are really freaking out this week trying to figure out how to stop their passing game. It's about keeping Dobbins and Edwards and Lamar Jackson from running all over you for 250 yards. It's pretty simple. Stop their run. They're going to try and stop your pass.
Yeah. Ready for the game. That's why I don't want any weather. Because the weather will help them stop the pass.
It sounds like there'll be some snow, but it doesn't seem like it looks like there's a pretty good chance there will be snow during the game. But in terms of accumulation, maybe an inch or two. It's going to be like 34. So, you know, I don't know, factor in wind chill. Sorry, I'm not a scientist. But, it, you know, 34 for the kickoff temperature, that's not bad. It's not really going to move much off of that over the course of the three-hour football game. So the weather doesn't seem terrible. You know, 15 to 20 mile-an-hour winds is the thing to monitor at this point.
Will they mention the real feel on the broadcast? That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, here, right? I don't. But 34 with 15 mile-an-hour winds, somebody do the chart. I don't know how cold. It's not like it's going to be 4 below with the wind chill.
No, that's like,
what is it, 20?
I
don't even
know.
19, I don't even know how the scale works. Yeah.
No, who knows how the scale
works? I'm not sure of the formula, but it won't be like a really crazy, frigid, cold game because of wind chill or any of that stuff. The weather shouldn't, I don't think the weather will be a determining factor from
also,
what they're saying at this
speaking
point.
Speaking of which, you know, it hasn't been below 15 degrees in almost a year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, this has been,
one of the longest stretches we've had of not going to 15 degrees or below. So it's actually been really nice.
It's been an easy winter so far.
I feel the same way.
Piece of cake. Let's not push it, Howard. It's been an easy winter. I mean, January, we've been over 30 degrees every day, I think. Right? We haven't had a high under, you know, in the teens? Nope.
I was told there was a polar vortex coming, and I don't know if it's still coming or not.
Maybe it's next month. No, it's honestly, we haven't, I mean, south towns I get, you know, but here in the north towns, we haven't had much snow. We're above average for January temperatures, you know, knock on wood. So far, so good as we get to mid-January here. So here's the deal. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. And yes, the Sabres played last night. We'll get into that too. But it's Bills Ravens tomorrow night. So we want to hear from all of you. You had all week. You've been listening to all the shows. You've been listening to all the guests. You've been digesting all of the analysis and the breakdowns. Well, today's your day. No day off for you. Sorry, Bill Belichick. No day off. We want to hear from everybody. Well, I guess we can't hear from literally everybody, but I don't know, like 75% of you. 803-0550 is the number to call. We open up the phone lines. You join us. It makes this a lot more fun than just the two of us talking all morning to each other. So grab a line and share. The Bills will win? Why? You don't think the Bills are going to win? Why? You can join us on that. It's that simple. 803-0550. Today on the show, Sal will be with us for his normal football Friday chat at 7. Paul Hamilton is going to be with us at 7:30. John Murphy at 8:30. Lots of time for you to call and join us today. And don't forget, we're going to be streaming the show on the WGR Facebook page at 8 o'clock this morning. The last 2 hours of the show, you'll be able to watch live on the WGR Facebook page, and that's going to be presented by Southern Tier Brewing Company, brewed and loved in the 716.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Olsen in front, they score. The deflection in front of the net is tapped home, and Buffalo has tied it up on the power play.
McCabe's screenshot, and Samsonov tried to knock that one down. He was on his knees. Another whack at it in front, they score. That one eventually jammed into the net, and it looked as if Tobias Reeder would be the one who would get the goal and bring Buffalo to within two.
It was indeed Rick Jenrette on the call last night, making their Sabre debuts and scoring a goal in their Sabres debut, respectively, Taylor Hall and Tobias Reeder. We'll get to the hockey news in a moment. We'll get you started with our football news this morning, and that would be the Bills injury report. Only one player listed as questionable, and that would be Daryl Johnson. There was full practice participation yesterday for Diggs, Edmonds, Oliver, and Zimmer. Cole Beasley was limited in practice, but again, he did not have an injury designation for the game. Just the one player questionable. Sean McDermott did say TJ Yeldon will take Zach Moss's spot this Saturday. For Baltimore, the one player to watch listed as questionable is cornerback Marcus Peters. And he had not practiced this week due to a back injury. I believe he went on a limited basis yesterday. I'll double check that. Bills news brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills. You can scratch two open coaching jobs off the list. One of them in the division. The Jets are going with Robert Saleh, the San Francisco defensive coordinator, as their new head coach. And Jacksonville agrees to a deal with Urban Meyer, the former Ohio State coach. So he is in the pros now. So that leaves the Chargers, the Eagles, the Texans, the Lions, and the Falcons still searching for a head coach. As far as Brian Daboll is concerned, he has already interviewed for the Chargers job. John Wolford is out, so Jared Goff will start at quarterback for the Rams for their playoff game against Green Bay. The Sabres open the season with a 6-4 loss to Washington last night. In addition to the goals from Hall and Reeder, Victor Olofsson and Jake McCabe also scored. Eric Staal left the game with an injury, a hit to the head in the third period. He went right to the locker room. He did not return. He's listed as day-to-day. And the Sabres will play the Caps tonight at 7 o'clock right here on WGR, pregame at 6. By the way, our play-by-play highlights from earlier, the Firth moments of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. Those are your headlines. Next update coming up at 7 o'clock. You can call us on M&T Bills Fan Football Friday and give us your prediction for the big game tomorrow night. Bills Mafia Rochester. The whole group just tweeted in? Okay. Bills win 27-23. Baltimore is going to be our toughest challenge yet. I like that we are home. So share your thoughts on that, and if you want to talk about the Sabres, which John does to start things off, you can do that too. John and Marilla, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, I was extremely disappointed in the game yesterday. You know, they mentioned on the instigators they were watching the Tampa-Chicago game, and that reminded me it was exactly like Chicago, but the only difference was we scored a few more goals. Eichel looked disinterested. Dahlin looked horrible. And we got a major problem for our second line center because he just looked so slow. And, you know, I'd have to put this one on the coach, not having them prepared to play. But if it's going to be an effort like this, the season's toast.
All right. Yeah, they were a little rusty. There were a lot of turnovers, a number of mistakes. I thought played better as the game went on, played a little better in the third period.
Might have been a function of the Caps protecting a two-goal lead consistently. You know,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Eichel line, you know, they produced, but they also had some turnovers. They did not play particularly a sharp game, I didn't think.
Nope.
The defense was meh.
The only thing I'll disagree with, I thought Dahlin was fine.
The goaltending didn't bail out whatever mistakes were made in front of him. Penalty killing gave up a goal again. You know, yeah.
Could have used a save or two or three.
Yeah.
I'll say a couple things to defend them and then get to what the caller said. It was their first game. There was no preseason. This group did not play in front of no fans. And 24 teams did, right? I know you can make the joke they play in front of no fans plenty. But in all seriousness, the empty arena playing, you know, maybe you could write off a period as like, okay, like let's get things to where they've got to be. So that's all in there. There are new pieces, right? That's it. That's like the best I can do.
Yeah.
I mean, they have all of the same problems. They started Carter Hutton on their opening night.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but I guess he's had the better camp. But I was surprised by that.
Surprised that he's on the roster, kind of.
Yeah.
But
I'm not surprised about that.
They brought their goalies back. They didn't make an upgrade there. They started Hutton. He did not play particularly great. Ristolainen, new season.
Yeah, I mean,
same,
you know,
boss.
Ristolainen and McCabe as your shutdown pair is just not really going to take you very far.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't want to go nuts off of one game, the first game, mm-hmm. in an empty building and their first game in 10 months. So,
yeah.
You know, it definitely was not fun to watch. The thing the thing that would concern me about the Sabres is I just wonder if we're in for at least the fourth consecutive year of being told they play fast and they don't at all. They are so boring. Last night, they were so boring.
Is this where you're going to pull out the event numbers all season for?
I mean, eventually,
us?
I'm sure the event numbers will come out.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, Taylor Hall and Jack Eichel playing together. I'm going to give it a game or two. You know,
yeah, they might work out.
I mean, if they had out, they had a couple opportunities.
It was some good chemistry at times with them in terms of what they were doing to work with each other. I'm not sure how productive Thompson will be on that line.
I might say I'm not sure how much longer I'm willing to give Tage Thompson on that top line.
Yeah, right.
He started to do the things he used to do, which is overhandle the puck and toe drag to nowhere. And what's going on here, man? You have the two best players on the team, arguably two best forwards, and. You know, and then I've got Skinner look good, but the problem is Skinner made a couple nice plays, and he stuck with the fourth line.
Right.
They did move things around, and I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to give it time. I've got all these people expecting me to go on a rant today. Like, people, come on.
Yeah.
You think I get carried away? I'd be like Howard picking the Bills to win the Super Bowl. I'm gonna act like I've been here before a little bit.
You know, you could pick the Sabres now. There's only 55 games left instead of like 81. So
55 and one. That's what I'm thinking.
Is
right
that from 50, here on out? Not even a shootout loss or anything.
No,
oh,
no.
Wow.
They're gonna win them all in the shootout.
That's quite a story.
The turnaround starts tonight.
That is quite a story.
No,
hopefully,
I mean,
and hopefully Stahl's okay. I mean, that was a hit to the head. The guy should get suspended for that. But it is welcome back to the NHL, where you have hits to the head, by the way.
Right.
And hopefully he's all right.
A mess. Montour, not good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I just say this to the caller. Everything you said is right. We'll see how much of that is true in 10 games.
Yeah. Hey, they scored 4 goals. Power play scored a goal. They just couldn't stop Ovechkin's line, and they couldn't stop Washington in general. And actually, Stahl had a horrendous turnover.
They were supposed to be good on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
Maybe that needs some time to gel. I mean, they changed their penalty kill personnel, but not their coach.
No.
Like the special teams coach.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, Larson and Gergensen's out, and what, Reeder and Eakin in, essentially. I think they were 1-2 last night on the penalty kill. So
we'll see. Yeah. One thing that happened last night, watching the game with all the people that watch on Sabres Twitter, they asked me, you know, what was the earliest you ever did say fire a coach? And the answer was game 2 of Housley's second year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that this year. I'm pretty confident about that. Game 2 of Housley's second year.
Yeah.
Because they were outshot like 11-4 in the first period by the Rangers and just like, or whoever. And, you know, they had finished dead last when they weren't supposed to, and there were all indications that it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
yeah, it was so. Yeah, right. I mean, I'm not surprised that first off, I think Washington is a better team, and I'm not surprised that their first game in 311 days they didn't look very good. It was odd, I would say. I mean, we're used to watching games with no fans. I think we've gotten fairly used to it as you can be. It was odd watching the player and coach introductions with nobody in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
and them coming out. A couple guys even did, you know, the whole stick up in the air to acknowledge fans who weren't there. So that was kind of strange.
The other thing, you know, ambient noise in a lot of these games.
Yeah.
Ambient noise in a lot of these broadcasts. The broadcast that needs it the least is hockey. Because in hockey games, sure, sometimes there's chanting, but a hockey broadcast is usually, at least to my ear, very focused on the sounds on the ice. I'm not focused on the ambient noise in the arena, if there is any. It's about the skates and the puck and the stick and the boards and the glass. And you hear hockey in a way that you don't always hear other sports. So, you know, to that, I thought that ambient noise, maybe I'll get used to it. I'm not sure if, you know, that was Brian Cozy was talking about how it sounded strange pumped into the arena.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's going to stay or be tweaked or whatever, but that's my review of the ambient noise. I just thought, of all the sports, I just don't need it here.
Yeah, I don't. The only time I notice it is when the Sabres score a goal and there's no cheer. I mean, there's whatever crowd noise they have, but it's not the same, obviously. There's like this constant din of crowd noise. And I don't know if they, you know, like in football, at least earlier in the season, I think in football, they tried to match the crowd noise levels with game plays. You know, like put in a cheer on a big third down stop, as opposed to just a constant level of noise in the background on your television set. I think they tried to match up certain moments in the game with crowd reaction. I didn't get a sense they did that last night. And honestly, I was aware of the din of the noise. But as I said, really, the only time, you know, when the Sabres scored, the red light goes on and it's really quiet. You know, I mean, there's just no reaction because you don't have 18,000 fans or whatever in the stands. That was the only time it really, I thought, yeah, okay, this is weird. The Sabres score and it's just, it's almost like you scored a goal in practice, you know, or a scrimmage, and there's just nobody to react for you to feed off the energy or react to it. I thought that was the only point that was odd last night. The other than that, you know, the ads are fine. There were ads on the signs. There were ads on the telecast. There, you know, the ads, whatever. The ads on the helmet. Everything else is fine. There was no Doug Allen, but Cammy Clune did the anthem, and it was pre-recorded, which is different. They didn't have a live anthem singer in the building. I mean, it's you know, pandemic era sports. It is what we have learned to deal with. 803-0550. We want to talk Bills Ravens with you. It is football. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. We want to hear your thoughts about the game tomorrow night. If the Bills are going to win, why? If you don't think they're going to win, why? What makes you feel confident in the Bills? What's your main concern? I'm going to guess you, if you feel confident, it's something to do with Josh Allen and the passing game. And I'm going to guess most of you would say your main concern would have something to do with Lamar Jackson and their running game. But hey, can't speak for you. Trevor, my biggest concern is the Ravens RPO, the defense getting gassed with long drives. A KC repeat where the Bills can't stop the run would be rough. Remember, Kansas City, they didn't load up to stop the run.
And
they loaded up to stop the pass, and they sacrificed the run.
And if they repeat against the Chiefs, we're calling and we're complaining about the offense.
Yeah.
They had 206 yards.
Yeah, and they had 17
they
points in that game.
They lost the Chiefs game because their offense couldn't move the ball.
And they lost to the Ravens last season because the offense didn't score enough points. So the defense wasn't bad in that game. Yeah, I wouldn't be – if your concern could be because you don't think the Bills' run defense is good enough, but – forget the Kansas City game. Forget it. If you want to bring up a game, you might bring up Arizona, you know, where they ran the ball pretty successfully. They ended up winning the game. Drake, I think, had 100 yards. Kyler Murray had 60-ish yards. I think that would be a game that you would bring up more appropriately in the discussion than Kansas City because of what the game plan was against the Chiefs. The game plan here is not let's shut down the Ravens passing game. The game plan here is to load up, I would assume, load up and stop their running game. And make Lamar throw the ball 30-plus times on Saturday night. Tomorrow night, sorry. 803-0550 to join us. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Are you the Bills' biggest fan? Tweet us at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills fans to be M&T's Bills Fan of the Week. M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
You know, it's interesting because when you look at statistically Baltimore's defense, they give up 4.6 yards per carry. So everyone talks about how bad the Bills' rush defense is at times. They literally give up the same yards per carry as the Baltimore Ravens defense. Mm-hmm. But this Ravens defense is peaking at the end of the season. They haven't given up more than 14 points in the last four games. But when you look at their personnel on defense, it's a nightmare for an offensive line looking across because – Brandon Williams and Justin Ellis inside are two of the best run stuffers. You have Derek Wolfe, who I played against many times when he was in Denver. He's a dog. And then on the outside, they trade for Yannick Ngakoue. They have Calais Campbell. They have Matt Judon and Pernell McPhee. Like, oh my gosh. Like, there's not even enough, like, pass rush reps to go around there. And then I would say the weakness of their defense is their two middle linebackers. They're both rookies. They were a first and third round draft pick this year out of LSU and Ohio State. They're talented players. They make splash plays. That would probably be the weakness of their defense. And then you mentioned their secondary already. To me, Don Martindale last year against the Buffalo Bills, I don't know if y'all know this, ran cover zero blitz 16 times. I actually give credit to the Baltimore Ravens for the Bills having Stephon Diggs right now, the receiver that led the NFL in catches and receiving yards. I give the Baltimore Ravens credit because they basically said, you can't get open on the outside by the time our free hitter comes. Yeah. That's unheard of. In the NFL, two cover zero blitzes in a game is like a ton.
Yeah,
they did it 16 times. And you know what it led to? Six sacks, an interception, a forced fumble and a fumble recovery, and 146 yards passing.
How about that?
Eric Wood on the Minus 3 podcast.
16 cover zero blitzes.
It's a lot.
That's Greg Williams was made famous for having a cover zero blitz on a Hail Mary this year. They did that to the Bills 16 times last year.
Yeah.
There's no way they can get away with that again.
Not with Diggs here.
No way.
No, I wouldn't think.
And not with Diggs here, not with Allen being as much improved better. As he is.
Yeah, with the downfield throws, right. Yeah, I would be surprised to see that. It's funny, you brought up Matt Bowen earlier this week from ESPN.com. We played a clip where he was talking about, you know, if you're Baltimore, you might want to change your philosophy. I haven't finished reading it, but he had a piece up at ESPN.com where he basically goes through all the matchups. And he lists how each team can win the game. So how the Ravens can beat the Bills, how the Bills can beat the Ravens. I just started looking at is how the Bills can win. And he points out that he wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens play more cover three or more cover two. They normally play a lot of man, okay? Man coverage on 43.5% of their snaps during the regular season, fourth most in the league. But because of the personnel for the Bills and because of their ability to beat man coverage, he says it's a legitimate possibility that the Ravens would play more cover three, cover two. And then it's up to the Bills to try and manipulate the zones. And he's got some other concepts he goes through in terms of beating zone defense. So I think that is one of the key storylines tomorrow night. What's their approach defensively? And what do the Ravens do? Do they stick to what they typically do best, you know, in terms of blitzing, man coverage, or do they change things up and do it a little bit differently? Which would be, by the way, a hell of a sign of respect for where Josh Allen and the Bills' passing offense is now by altering your defensive philosophy for a stretch. Mm-hmm. That's the number one story for me. And more so than containing Lamar, which I know is the goal of the Bills' defense, and I bet a lot of Bills fans have been thinking about this matchup. When you were at the end of the regular season and we were talking about which team would you be worried about, and a lot of Bills fans were saying, I don't want to face the Ravens. You know, I know they played really well down the stretch. They took advantage of a weak schedule outside of the Cleveland game. My guess is everybody was worried about Lamar. But again, I think the Bills will have a good enough plan. Look, when they played the better running teams they played this year, Tennessee, they shut down Henry. They didn't lose that game because of Derrick Henry. Seattle actually finished sixth in rushing in the league this year. Of course, the Bills blew that game open. New England was a top 10 running team. They beat them both times. One was a blowout. The other one was close. And the other top 10 running offense the Bills faced was Arizona. And Arizona won. They ran the ball all right in that game. Arizona ends up winning on the Hail Mary at the end of the game. The Bills scored 30 points. So I just think the narrative of the running game, I don't think it'll be the decisive factor that it can be for Baltimore, because I think the Bills know. It's not that you're disrespecting the pass, but you know basically they win and die, or they'll win and lose, or live and die with their running game, and I think the Bills will adjust accordingly. And when McDermott's been able to do that, they've been okay in terms of their run defense. Not great, but good enough.
Yeah, Baltimore is number one in the league in rushing. They are number 32 in passing, and this is one of those things where I would say, you know, you can be 32nd in passing because you're so bad at passing,
right,
or you can be 32nd because you run it so much.
Yeah, they ran for over 3,000 yards this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right.
Their passing yards per attempt is not 32nd.
Right.
But their volume at the past in the passing game is at 32nd.
And they don't. They really don't throw. They don't want the quarterback to throw that much. Maybe 20 times a game. And, you know, that's out of what, 60 to 70 offensive snaps.
Yeah. Baltimore's yards per pass attempt, because I do have that here. The Bills are third, by the way, in yards per pass attempt. Baltimore is 20th.
Hey.
A big climb from 32. Again, not great, but respectable.
Larry in Cheektowaga, welcome to Football Friday here on WGR.
Morning, guys. I'm in a much better place this week. I think I'm like you, Howard. Last week we got a lot of demons off our backs. I think winning our first one. I think they were a little uptight last week, and we still scored 27 points. I think our linebacking is going to be a key on defense, and I think coaching. We haven't got out coached. I don't think all year. We lost three games. One of them was the Titans, which I'm going to throw right out. So I think we had the Hail Mary pass. So. We lost three, but basically one game, you know, was our worst game against Kansas City. Having said that, I think our execution, just, you know, we got to execute. We got to do what the coaching. I think is going to be there. I think our coaches will be fine. I just think it's going to be a great game, and we got to come out on offense and just do our thing. We can't worry what they're going to do. I think our offense is good enough to do what we got to do with Josh Allen's arm. Sprinkling a couple runs here and there, and I think we'll be fine. One thing I want to say is I go to my father's I go to the cemetery every week. I've been doing it for 16 weeks because he was a big Bills fan. So I talk to him, you know, at the gravesite every week, and, you know, I'm superstitious. You know, I go there, and I've been doing it, and it's been working. So I think we're going to be all right. I'll hang up and listen.
Sure. Yeah, appreciate it, Larry. Thanks. Yeah, you do what you – right. Their identity is to throw the football. Yeah, look, we can talk all week about Baltimore, and they've got a really good defense, and they got really good corners, and they love to blitz and all this other stuff, and you can worry about, you know, their edge rushers and the guys who can get sacks, you know, Judon and, Calais Campbell, all these guys. Yeah, but you still – if you're Brian Daboll, you come out and you make them stop you. You come out and try and dictate to the defense what you want – right? Isn't that what Tequila Spikes said yesterday? Right? The offense should dictate to the defense in this game. And I think if you're the Bills, I don't anticipate them going away from their philosophy. The weather shouldn't be anything that would make them worried about throwing the ball. You do what you do best. And that is, you live with Josh Allen, you live with his arm, you live with the receivers, and, you know, and Josh's legs when need be. I don't think there's going to be a change in that.
If you're watching Brian Daboll's job potential, the openings, the Jags is off, the Jets is off, and maybe Atlanta's next. That's off. Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, the focus for the Falcons, according to Ian Rappaport. The Eagles have been monitoring. His Lions trip is off. All eyes on Atlanta. That would leave four left, right? Houston,
yeah.
L.A., Detroit, and Philadelphia. I think you would worry about L.A. and Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was looking at the real quick here. NFL.com has a coaching tracker, right? So here's the rundown with the Chargers, according to their stories. So Daboll already interviewed for that job. So did Jason Garrett. So did Robert Saleh, but you can cross him off the list now. Mm-hmm. Arthur Smith interviewed for that job. So if he takes the Atlanta job, that's another guy out in L.A. Mm-hmm. So that would leave Brandon Staley, who interviewed, Jason Garrett, Brian Daboll. We're planning to interview Matt Eberflus, the Colts defensive coordinator. They also talked to Joe Brady, and then Eric Bieniemy was requested. Okay. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six guys would be left, according to this list, either have interviewed or have been requested by the Chargers, Daboll one of the six.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that would seem to be, like, he's not listed here with the Eagles as a request at this point. So you would think that the Chargers would be the bump, although, I mean, remember, I mean, the guy, the new GM in Houston was in New England, so he would know Daboll, but there's nothing on here about Daboll in Houston, no official request or anything.
And that job is probably not attractive because of ownership and management, how things have gone there.
Yeah, with the new guy
Watson
running it.
Is the best selling point. If he's there, it still, to me, is worth considering for anybody. Mm-hmm. If he leaves, then run for the hills.
Sal's coming up in a moment. It is Football Friday. We want to get your calls in here this morning. Call and let us know how the Bills-Ravens game is going to play out. 803-0550. Hey, there's a special playoff edition of Sports Talk Saturday tomorrow at noon with Lou DiBiase. We'll take you right up to Bills game day at 3. It is brought to you by Topps Friendly Markets, best game day deals in town, and by Madison Carpet One, your kitchen and bathroom tile and flooring headquarters. All Bills all day tomorrow on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.